everybody, welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.com. Movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm very excited for this week's show because I am joined once again at long last by my beautiful, lovely wife, Erica Bromley.
Hi, babe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am okay. I'm happy to be talking to you. This episode is something that we've been talking about doing for a couple weeks. I don't remember how the idea came up, but I feel like it was on another podcast.
Yeah, and I think it's longer than a couple weeks.
Probably. So what we're going to be doing is we have dug out our list because both of us have been making top 10 lists since the 90s.
Since we were babies.
That's right. And we dug out our old lists. And so we're going to be revealing what our old lists were. And then revising them with what our lists might look like today. And we're starting with the year 2000. If this show is a success, we will continue to do it for subsequent years.
In the year 2000.
I don't know if we'll definitely go like 2001, 2002, but...
yeah, we don't have to go in order, right?
And I don't know how different our lists are going to look, actually.
What are the rules? We don't
there
have
really
any
aren't any. No, we kind of, you know, decided to do this and didn't have a chance to rewatch a lot of stuff. So
no, that makes me a little nervous, actually.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
We'll get to it though.
Okay.
My feeling is like, yeah, but I shouldn't have to, right? Because if they're the movies that have lived with me for 18 years, what are the ones that like that live with me? What are the ones that I go back to? What are the ones that I think about? As opposed to like, what's one that I put on my list in January of 2001 or December of 2000, like,
right,
this belongs on my list and maybe it doesn't. Although nothing that I, well, I'm getting so far
I know,
ahead.
We're jumping ahead. But no, I mean,
I didn't take off anything good.
I had the same thought though. Like, anything if I bad. Don't remember it, maybe that means.
I said that wrong.
You didn't take off anything.
Nothing that I took off because it's bad.
Okay. You took it off because?
Because I haven't watched it since
right,
then.
Right,
you know?
Right. Okay. So, yeah, me looking, I had the same thought process. Like, if I haven't watched it since then and haven't really thought about it much, right? Like, because some of them I haven't necessarily watched a bunch since then because there's always new movies and old ones that we haven't seen
new
yet.
New old movies, yeah.
but if I haven't really thought about it at all, I want to, like, spoiler alert my list
don't
already.
Do it.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is the case every year, unfortunately, because we pressure ourselves to make these lists. And sometimes you're going to put on the thing you just saw this month because it's like, well, it's awards season and this was good. And so it's fresh on my mind. And back in 2000, it's like, well, this should be on my list.
Right. Oh, my gosh. So much of that because we were so young.
Young film douches. Thank goodness. Which is, by the way, our spinoff podcast, Young Film Douches.
Does that start next week?
Yeah.
Does it drop next week?
Yeah. Well, okay, we got to say drops if we're going to be YFDs.
I have a t-shirt prepared for our YFD podcast.
On the back, it just has like lists of like Stanley Kubrick, Martin Scorsese, Quentin Tarantino.
I live and die by these directors
David
only.
Fincher. I'm a YDF. What? I'm a YFD. Damn it.
You already messed it up. It's not going to click.
Nothing is good for me.
That's not true.
So we haven't formally announced it yet. I don't know exactly when we are going to announce this year's F This Movie Fest.
Oh, okay. That sounded so serious.
Some people have asked about it.
Many people.
Right now, depending on when you're... It should be announced sometime this week, I'm hoping, on the website. But if it isn't up by the time this podcast goes up, we can at least announce it's going to be March 9th.
March 9th. Save the date.
Films and theme forthcoming. There's also one change to this year. Which may make some people happy and may bother some people. But
I can't imagine it bothering anyone.
It would be weird if it did.
Okay, the only way that the change would bother someone, right, is if, well, I can't give it away, right?
Right.
But no, it shouldn't. If anything, it's just like more chances, sort of,
more
in my life.
anyway, so that you should be up sometime this week. But okay. March 9th is the day. Would have been March 2nd, but where are we going?
Where are we going? Oh, yeah. We're going to the Kiss concert that
day,
right?
We have tickets for the final Kiss tour, so it sadly cannot be
in Chicago.
March 2nd. So March 9th it is. We're going to see Kiss.
So excited. Our kids are kind of mad at us for not also bringing them to the Kiss concert.
Yes.
Which we feel bad about, but
they would not have liked the volume.
They need. We can do like an at-home Kiss concert.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll go in full makeup.
Oh, I like where this is going. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you sort of hinted at the announcement coming with your Instagram post on the F This Movie thing. Instagram.
That's a thing that happened.
Does everyone know that F This Movie has an Instagram?
An Instagram post.
I think so, right?
We post on it at least 4 times a year.
I know, right.
So definitely you want to get in on that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our revised favorite movies of 2000. But of course, before we do that, have you seen anything good lately?
I have. I've seen a lot of good stuff lately.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah. We've been watching a lot just to go back and catch up on things we missed. And yeah, I don't even know where to start right now because I could do an entire podcast.
Start at the very beginning.
Okay. So in the year 2000, that's the beginning,
the
right?
The Great Train Robbery. I'm not talking about the Sean Connery, Donald Sutherland one. I'm talking about literally Edwin Porter,
I
the Great Train Robbery.
I did just show that to my students like a week ago, so I could talk about that if you want, but no.
Should we back up? Train arriving at station?
Back that thing up.
Okay.
We've watched a lot lately. So much good stuff, too. Like, I really, there's only been like a hand, not even a handful of stuff that I've disliked. Gosh, where should I begin? Do you want to start? Or should I start? Okay,
no,
we watched Design for Living.
Yeah, we did.
Really fun. I loved it.
The Music Box Theater here in Chicago was doing a repertory screening, a weekend matinee. We were not able to go because our kids have activities and things going on.
And that might have been like a weather-related thing, too.
Oh,
maybe. I don't know.
I can't remember.
We've been frozen.
Yeah, that's true. So we just did our own screening here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was super fun. I loved all the performances and comedy, and it was just adorable. Yeah. Super cute. Did you like it?
Yeah, I had seen
it. Had you seen it before? You had, right?
I had.
Okay.
But yeah, it was an interesting example of, I think there were a few lines that you had me rewind just because it's this pre-code comedy where
right.
we just are shocked at how openly they're talking. We assume,
yeah.
hey, it's black and white. It's from the 30s. There's no way they're going to be talking openly about sex with multiple
right.
partners, right?
Right.
Oh, they are?
They
okay.
are.
Yeah. It's
and multiple times, too. Like,
right.
And
Miriam Hopkins gets around.
Yeah. And they're so casual about it. And yeah. the guys are just like, okay, we're going to, you know, hang in here and hope
right.
for the best. Like,
it's very progressive in that way.
Yeah, it is. So what happened? Why? Well, I know what happened. But then what happened after the code ended?
Yeah. You know, there's a, kind of a split.
Mm-hmm.
We could go on and on.
Right.
But
should we do another podcast?
Certain things are relegated to certain kinds of media, and then the rest of media can't show that stuff.
Right.
So.
But it was so cute. And she
it's very
was,
good.
She
yeah.
was adorable. We
like, literally, she's very tiny.
Yeah. Right. We watched The Girl in Black Stockings, which I'm going to bring up.
I had no idea this was going to be one of the movies you named.
Oh, yeah. Because how adorable is Mamie Van Doren?
Yes, this is part of the Kino Lorber Mamie Van Doren collection that they put out fairly recently. And we found for like $7 on Hamilton Books.
Good find.
And yeah, 3 movies for $7. I'd never seen a Mamie Van Doren movie. So we watched Girls, Guns, and Gangsters. That's not the
yeah.
right title. I know
it's close to that.
3 G's.
Right? Okay. It's our next podcast.
And then we also it's the 3 G's podcast. And then we also watched The Girl in Black Stockings.
Yeah. I don't know that she was wearing black stockings the whole time.
I don't think she was.
Yeah. I am obsessed with the posters for these movies.
The posters are often better than the movies.
Yeah, right. Her golden blonde hair, her blood red lips, her soft, warm skin.
She's barely in the movie.
Now they were all at the mercy of a crazed killer. Like, what?
It's a movie about, like, Anne Bancroft. It is not a
yeah.
movie about Mamie Van Doren.
Right. Although, that's, you just, spoiler alert.
She's the main character in the movie.
True. So I ruined it? Cut this out. So true. Okay. What else have we watched? Oh, we watched Belle de Jour.
Yes.
And
another first time viewing for both of us.
Yeah, for both of us. I loved it. Did you like it?
I did, yeah. I don't know. I think I was expecting something more, I guess, surrealist.
Definitely.
Because of the whole Boonwell thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's a movie that is very progressive, and I feel like had we seen it in the 1960s when it came out, it would have felt like even more of like a, wow, I can't
right.
believe they're doing and saying the things that they're doing and saying.
Right.
And it's still, I mean, you still feel that because you're able to watch it with that knowledge of like when this movie was made.
Yeah, I very much was thinking that the entire time. Yeah. Like, I can't believe what they're doing here. Like,
right.
This was okay, you know?
And in some ways it's progressive even still today in terms of what it's saying about female sexuality and, you know.
Yes.
But yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. And I think you maybe stepped out of the room for like
I was offended.
Quick.
And so I had
to. I know. For one quick moment.
I don't
moment,
like all that sex work.
It was like the fantasy where the mud's getting thrown at her.
I did step out. Yes.
Yeah.
Not on purpose. I like had to pee.
Right.
It was not.
He was drinking a large Coke Zero.
I just don't like when people get muddy.
I do.
It's upsetting.
No, but it was quick that like that little section, I guess it was quick, but that's where it kind of went more surreal, I guess.
Yeah, because then we were watching the little talking head documentary on the Criterion disc afterwards, and they showed a clip of it, and I thought the same thing, like, oh yeah, that would have lent it some of that surrealism mm-hmm. that I was missing.
I just thought it was so fascinating that they had this idea and this story and were dealing with these ideas of female sexuality and fantasy and also like what she may have gone through to cause her to have these different feelings and how she loved her husband but didn't know how to, I don't know, be a certain way
right.
yeah. with him or for
right.
him
right.
while also like, I don't know, honoring that other side to herself or
right.
whatever.
Well, that she, right, that she thought that it had to be
yeah.
two separate things.
Right.
Which I, you know, right. I think it's also sort of an indictment of the men in the movie, many of whom think that
right.
it has to be
right.
these two separate things,
yes,
you know?
Absolutely. Oh my yeah. gosh. What else? We watched The Big Heat.
Yeah, we did.
Also really enjoyed that. Had you seen that before?
I had never seen that
no,
before.
Right, that was okay.
I have a Glenn Ford allergy. But he was good.
I liked him
he
in
was
that more
fine.
Than other stuff we've seen him in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was fine. He was not my favorite part of the movie. But but yeah, it was really good. And then we read Roger Ebert's Great Movies essay afterwards. And I wouldn't say it forced me to like rethink the movie, but it was his take on it was very interesting
oh,
in
yeah.
terms of.
It was not really my take.
No. And it was funny because we watched it knowing nothing. Like
right.
I had recorded off of Turner Classic Movies. I think because I knew that it was on the Great Movies list, and so we wanted to see it, and it was Fritz Lang, and so I was like, yeah, sure. I've been recording way too much off of Turner Classic Movies, but it's
our
fun.
Our DVR is full.
I think something's literally recording right now, but I see the red light on.
As long as nothing gets deleted,
nothing.
Wuthering Heights.
It's enough up
okay.
that it shouldn't get bumped, I hope.
Oh
that's
gosh.
If our kids stop recording every episode of Milo Murphy's Law.
Oh, geez.
So,
at least that's a good show.
I didn't, yeah, Weird Al. I mm-hmm. didn't know really anything about it, and neither did you. We just pressed play and we watched it, and there's a thing that happens maybe a third of the way through the movie that took us both by total
yes.
surprise.
Oh my gosh.
And then every single thing we read about it, the plot summaries, Ebert's piece, even I think the description like on the DVR spoiled that huge development.
Right.
And so I'm really glad that we went in completely blind.
Yes, right. I would have been so disappointed and
yeah.
probably would have watched the whole film differently if
At
I
least
had...
the first third of it, for
no,
sure
yeah.
you would have.
I'm really glad.
Yes,
that
me
we
too.
Didn't know that stuff. Okay, what about you? What do you want to talk about?
Well, there's two that I would mention.
Okay.
The first was another first-time watch for both of us, and that was the Ernst Lubitsch film Nanotchka.
Yes.
Which neither of us had ever seen, and we've been trying to watch some Lubitsch movies because we both liked Trouble in Paradise so much and Design for Living, and I think I even made a point of reading out loud or showing you the description on the DVR, the Turner Classic Movies description for Nanotchka. Described a movie that I never want to see.
Yeah.
it used all these different words that I never would have pressed record if I didn't
I
know that it was
a
Lubitsch movie.
We still had it and we could pull it up.
Oh my gosh. It was all just like Parisian emissary. And I was like, what? I don't want it. This movie doesn't sound romantic or funny. Meanwhile, it's totally both.
Yeah. It's so cute.
It is adorable. And I had never, I guess movie shame, I'd never seen a Greta Garbo movie.
Never ever?
Never. Never, ever.
Never, ever.
Yeah. And She was great. The movie was delightful. Billy Wilder was a co-writer on the screenplay, which never hurts. But yeah, man, it was so good. It was like, it's only February, but it's certainly one of my favorite discoveries of the year so far.
Yeah. Even like just the small moments, like her three coworkers,
the three
friends,
guys that she has to go and like bail out.
Yeah, right. You know, they're not coworkers. No. No.
Well, they're fellow countrymen.
Okay, yeah.
So they're basically co-workers.
Sure.
Because that's the whole thing about the movie.
Right. I loved their relationship with each other and how they acted together. And then to her, it was so... And it felt progressive, too, in a way. The way that they sort of cared for her. And it was just super sweet and cute and really engaging. I think, didn't we have to pause it at some point?
Yes.
And come back to it. And yes. I was really like itching to get back to it. I really
itching
wanted
to... for Ninotchka.
Yeah. How many times did we say Ninotchka?
Way too many times.
I'm sure it sounds prettier when other people
say
it.
But we've been, because we've been watching all these old movies, and this is not a particularly insightful observation, nor is it a new observation, but paid so much attention to dialogue.
Right.
And like people say funny, smart, literate things.
Yeah, and they say it quickly.
And I just miss good dialogue.
Right. What happened?
Listen, another podcast.
I know.
Okay? That's our fourth spin-off podcast.
We're going to wrap these all up.
What happened? Called What Happened with EMP.
You had one more to
I did have one more, that was a movie that I had seen before. That was a first-time watch for you this past weekend because I was listening to the Pure Cinema New Beverly Calendar episode.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about one of the movies that's showing at the New Beverly this month, one of many that I wish I could go see on the big screen. And they played a clip of it, and it reminded me of how much I felt like rewatching it. So after we finished 40 Guns, Sam Fuller, which is really cool, we watched Smokey and the Bandit. And so that's been really fun because we've been watching all these movies and because I, can't leave the house. And so and you've been nice enough to stay with me and watch all these movies
with
me.
That's
and so some of them, we're seeing for the first time. Some I've seen before, maybe. But it's really fun watching them with you because part of the joy for me is seeing the stuff that you respond to. And it's not always what I expect. I didn't necessarily expect you to get as into or excited about Smokey and the Bandit as you did.
I loved it.
I know. And it was like really fun to watch you love it. And it only made me like the movie more.
Is it too early to say it might make my best movies ever list?
It's never too early. It's Smokey and the Bandit, please.
It was so fun and so funny. I found myself laughing at things that I didn't expect, necessarily.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, Burt Reynolds is so... I loved it so much. And, of course, Sally Field. I feel, I grew up with Sally Field, but, like, probably the second half of her
like Places in the Heart,
career.
Sally Field?
No, but, yeah. I hadn't seen a lot of her young stuff.
Right. Flying Nun. You never watched The Flying Nun?
No, I have not.
Gidget?
No.
No Gidget?
Nope.
No.
See? And she's so good and so cute. And do you remember that twinning app that was like super popular like a month or three ago? I don't know. Like
only because you showed me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I know. Right. I'm like, hey, look what's going on. You're like, I don't know what's going on in the world.
It was cool because I got compared to every heavy-set bearded man working
I put in Patrick's
the
picture.
Industry.
Wait. I put in Patrick's picture and showed him. Yeah. And it was a lot of
chubby guys with beards.
Yeah. But you don't look like them. But I mean, maybe just
apparently
the beard thing.
Apparently I do.
Then I put in a different picture of you that had a little less hair.
And it was a garbage pail kid that they compared me
to.
Yeah,
I think so.
Alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Alligator.
Yours did not match up. Like, I was waiting for, I'm like, where is Ryan Gosling?
You thought
Gosling?
I was more of a greaser, Greg?
What?
I get it.
Why is this not?
Because I'm cool.
Yours didn't work. Mine wasn't.
Yours works good.
What were mine?
Well, Jennifer Jason Leigh was like your number one with like a high percentage.
Yeah.
And
which, I mean, when I worked at Blockbuster, there were men who used to come in all the time and tell me I looked like different people, and she was one of them. And yeah, that's another podcast. Stories from when Erica worked at Blockbuster.
BBV stories.
And the men who visited.
With Erica and Adam Risky. I got bummed off that one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get to
You didn't
appear.
Work there long enough, please. I put
not.
In years of
yeah,
commitment,
you
okay?
Did.
Yeah, who else? No, but oh, a young Sally Field.
Yeah.
And
Elizabeth
others.
Shue.
Elizabeth Shue.
But yeah, young Sally Field, which I had never thought about. And then when they were showing the pictures, I was like, oh, absolutely. And then she had a look in the movie where she smiles at one point. I was like, oh my gosh, that's you.
Aw.
Yeah.
Aw.
So I shaved off my beard, and now I just have a mustache and wear a cowboy hat.
And I'm into it. But I know
when
you're going to take
it
off.
She's in love with my belt buckle. that's all I got.
Okay. Yeah, it was good. I'm like, I've thought about that movie like every day since we watched it.
Totally watch it again.
Okay. Okay.
Any other ones that you want to mention?
No, we're good.
Okay. That was quite a few.
I mean, there's so many more, but well, we're good.
We have a list of hundreds of movies that we want to watch.
Oh my gosh.
And we just keep adding to
insane.
It.
Insane. I know. Yeah. We take one off and add five to it.
That's about
problem.
Right. Yeah. all right. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
2000. Our favorite movies of 2000, yesterday and today. I'll let you go first. So what we're going to do is just name what our number 10 was back in 2000, what our number 10 would be today. In some cases, mine is very different. In other cases, it's pretty much the same. I'll spoil it right now.
Okay.
My top two, still the same.
Okay.
Have not changed. Everything else, kind of different.
Okay. My top two either switch positions or are the same. Okay, so I'm starting with number 10.
Yeah, you might as well.
And this is the year 2000, right?
This is the year 2000.
I can't stop thinking about Conan. Okay. O'Brien. Remember?
Oh, in the year 2000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. So my number 10 in 2000.
Yes.
Appears to be some sort of tie.
What a surprise.
I know, right? Was it my list this year, 2018, that was like a bunch of just
yes.
rule breaking and like three-way tie?
Fine.
Three-way. Okay. So number 10 is a tie between Love and Basketball.
Uh-huh.
And Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
A movie
that
comes up at least once a week in our house.
Did we see that with Doug?
No.
Did I see that with Doug?
No, you saw it with me.
I saw it with you?
At
Doug wasn't there?
No.
Did Doug really like that movie?
Doug bought it on DVD.
Why am I thinking about Doug?
When aren't you thinking about Doug?
Hey, Doug. Okay, so we saw it together.
Yeah.
And there was no Doug. But I feel like he must have liked it because he popped in my head when I saw it.
It's the example he always uses of the movie he bought on DVD when he just was buying anything.
Yes.
And so it's a movie that I might associate with Doug, as you apparently do as well.
Right.
But we didn't see it with him.
No. Okay. But I think
also
that's...
he can climb. He can float across tree branches.
He can
and
crouch
stuff.
And hide?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. okay. So... I think the reason I'm thinking of Doug is because in the way that he tells that story about buying the DVD, I feel like this was on my list because in 2000, I thought Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's beautiful. I liked it a lot.
Sure.
And it should be on the list.
It's Ang Lee.
Right.
It's important. We probably
It's important. Yes, right. It's important. We saw it at not our normal theater, right?
Didn't right. We? Yeah. We saw it at Yorktown. But
so it was even
I
more
think it
important.
Had just come out. Oh, yeah. We had to make a drive to see it, which is always the mark of well, this is quality if it's playing at an artier theater than our multiplex.
Right. So that definitely is on the list because of all those things I just mentioned, and it would not be on the list today.
No.
Although, in all fairness, it might still be...
It's not any less of a movie.
Right. Oh, it's certainly beautiful and great. I just don't think about it ever.
And here's the point where we probably need to say, because if you're offended that a movie that you really like has fallen off of our list.
Oh, yeah.
The movies didn't change. Movies don't change.
Right.
The movie is the movie. We have changed. So just because we wouldn't put whoever wouldn't put Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon on the list anymore, it doesn't make it less of a movie or less worthy of being on someone's top 10 list. It's just a recognition that I haven't thought about that movie in 18 years or 19 years. And so I probably wouldn't include it on my favorite list today.
And if we didn't have a list of 500 movies we want to watch tomorrow, I'm exaggerating by a few hundred, but then maybe I would rewatch it tonight.
Sure.
And maybe I will someday, but I haven't thought about it since then,
Right. And you never know what's going to prompt you to want to rewatch a movie.
Right.
I'll mention Michelle Egan's article about Black Snake
Moan. Yes,
I haven't
thought
about rewatching Black Snake Moan since we saw it opening weekend.
Right, me neither.
And now we're both like, we should rewatch Black Snake Moan.
Right. Oh my gosh, I kept reading, especially the second half of her piece. I love the way she said it and what she said, and yeah, I wanted to rewatch it last night, but we couldn't, so maybe tonight.
And for me, it was when I did an image search of articles or pictures to put in the article.
Right. Well, no, I understand that too. I may have done an image search.
I'm joking. All right, so your new number 10.
My new number 10 is non-existent. So it was a tie between Love and Basketball and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
And now it's a three-way tie.
Now it's... I was going for that three-way. Now there is nothing there. No. Here's the problem.
Oh, my gosh.
Because my number 9, which I haven't mentioned yet, fell off the list.
Completely.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so did my tie. And Love and Basketball, I think I would move up.
Okay.
So now I have this... Oh, gosh. Hold my jokes. Hold my jokes. I have this hole, and I need to fill it. That's what she said. And so... I was looking at my honorable mentions, and I had honorable mentions like Best in Show and The Original Kings of Comedy. And
don't go naming too many. What if one of them shows up on my list?
Okay. But and The Replacements and Wonder Boys and even X-Men, which I remember
You're
like loving so much.
Still naming movies.
I know. Am I supposed to stop?
Well, because if one of them shows up, it's fine.
We should always talk about more movies.
But you're right.
And even Finding Forrester, which I didn't love when we saw
it. I've never seen it, but I know
you've never seen it?
You're the man now, dog.
Wow.
You're the man now, dog.
That's too good. I just bumped the mic. Is that going to be a problem?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Finding Forrester, I didn't love when we saw it, but then I... Years later, had to use it for something related to students for some special program I was teaching.
You were teaching a class on how to find Forrester.
And you know what? They all learned.
It's really the one source.
It changed my life and theirs as well. No, I liked it a lot more. I think sometimes when I show things to students, I see it through their eyes and it...
Like Smokey and the Bandit. When I watched it and saw it through your eyes.
Yay. Oh, that's so cute. Yeah.
So your number 10 is Finding Forrester.
No.
I'm almost positive that's what I just
I just gave you like
say.
A five-way tie yeah, of,
but,
I don't know.
But I feel like you landed on Finding Forrester.
Okay. But you know what? For the purposes of this podcast and all podcasts and all of my lists ever, I make my own rules and I can do what I want.
There's
and
a,
I can
there's
love.
A, there's a head moving back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Like
so much
Rosie
attitude.
Perez. Why don't you give her all the money, baby?
Okay, so I don't know. I'm stressed. What's my number 10?
I don't know.
I mean, Wonder Boys, I don't know. Best in Show. The Replacements. I'm going to throw on The Replacements.
Do it.
You know why? Because here's the thing. Replacements.
Shane Falco, baby.
Yes. And oh my
God. That movie literally did come up this week, unlike Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes.
We talk about The Replacements anytime The Police comes on.
Keanu Reeves. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That movie changed that song. It's like a whole new thing. I used to have like these different like childhood memory nostalgia with that song. No. And then there was a whole different phase with that song and now it's just The Replacements. Oh my gosh. In fact, the whole movie I like love so much. I think just for that scene. And the cheerleaders.
Sure.
Reminds me of my college days.
Yeah.
My uniform.
Shane Falco, baby.
So I'm going to throw The Replacements on
right,
there. And you
I
know
like
what?
It.
I don't care
no,
what anyone
listen,
says.
No one's going to say anything.
Keanu.
My number 10 back in 2000 was Way of the Gun, the directorial debut of Christopher McQuarrie.
I remember it.
It is higher up on my list now.
Okay.
So my new number 10 is a movie that I would never have put on my list back in 2000, but which I've probably thought about and revisited way more often than some of the movies that do not appear on my list anymore, and that is The Contender, written and directed by Rod Lurie, in which
and
Joan Allen becomes vice president.
I was just going to say, starring Joan Allen. I remember
yes.
liking that movie. I remember you liking that movie. That wasn't on your list?
It wasn't on my list. And
that's
I think,
in my honorable mentions.
I think. And my list was not, like, this is not my douchiest list at all. but I know that there was a part of me that like made some separation where it was like, if a movie was just good, I wouldn't necessarily put it on the list. Like, this makes sense to me. Like, it could be some sort of mainstream Hollywood thing. And as long as I fell in love with it, I was fine putting it on the list. So we'll see that come up again later.
Okay.
But if it was like just good and I respected it, it was like, oh, that's solid.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably tend more towards like some small little indie movie that I maybe also hadn't fallen in love with.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I'll have better examples later.
Yeah.
But But yeah, The Contenders, like, if it shows up on TNT or HBO, like, I'm going to watch it.
Right.
I know that it's a little ridiculous in terms of, like, Gary Oldman's caricature. And some of the politics, obviously, are not something that everybody agrees with. We tend to side with the movie's politics. But
sure.
Joan Allen is incredible in the movie.
Jeff Bridges. Love Joan Allen.
Is so great as, like, the president who's constantly trying to get people to eat weird shit. Where mm-hmm. he's, like, trying to get the White House chef to make a shark steak sandwich. And, like,
oh, yeah.
He just seems to be having a really good time. I don't know. I really like the movie. And, you know, probably should have watched it during the last election because right. it would have depressed me even more.
No. Right. We don't need to add to that. What's Bridges doing lately?
We just saw him in something, didn't we? Bad Times at the El Royale?
Yeah. No. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Anything else?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm sure he's busy. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that was a setup for something that
yeah,
I was supposed
okay.
to...
No, it's okay.
That I was supposed to know.
Yeah.
But I don't.
It's okay.
So I apologize.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Oh, wait. You just mentioned that... something about your douchiest list. This is not your douchiest list?
Yeah, I don't think it's my okay. douchiest list.
Are you saving that one for...
I don't know what my douchiest list is, but there was nothing on here that made me like...
For our new podcast.
That's right.
Okay.
Young film douche. Nothing on here made me cringe.
Okay.
I don't know if any of my lists would. I haven't gone back and looked.
A couple things on mine here made me cringe.
Yeah.
Well... One, I'm getting to it
oh, okay.
soon. No,
okay.
not yet, though, right?
All right.
Okay, so
we're at your nine.
You want my nine? My number
yeah,
nine?
I do.
Oh, no, here it is. We're cringing.
Oh, cringe away.
My 2000 number nine
yeah.
was Requiem for a Dream.
Yes. Now, to be fair.
Let's be fair.
That is a movie that's going on the back of the Young Film Douche t-shirt.
Yep.
But
yep.
also, to be fair, I remember in 2000, like, you really... liked that movie. Like,
yeah.
you really responded. In fact, you saw it twice in theaters because... Uh-huh. The second time you saw it was my first time.
Okay. Yeah. I saw it
you
up in Milwaukee.
Offered to go see it again, which I
was in college.
The whole time we were seeing it, I was like, I cannot believe you have already seen this. Like,
oh.
you are watching this Thanks. A second time.
Yeah.
Because it is not a movie I have ever wanted to revisit.
And I did. I think I revisited it like when it came out on DVD, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
It was one that... You bought not
I
me.
Was really into the soundtrack. Yeah, I got it.
Well, because of... Yeah, they used it in the Lord of the Rings trailer.
Yes.
It
oh
is
my
a great
God.
Piece of music.
Thank you. I wanted to find it and play it, but I didn't know if that was like legal
oh,
to
yeah,
do.
I don't know if it is either.
Okay. I love that music so much. And then, yeah, I loved it in the Lord of the Rings. So Requiem for a Dream, again, I was young. I was in college. I thought it was... I don't know. I liked how it looked. I liked his little tricks, you know, and now I look at it, I'm rolling my eyes, you know, it's just not me in the same way. But I think the music had a lot to do with it. I think the performances, Ellen
Burstyn,
I'm
going to be on television.
Yeah. I really loved her performance. I think that I just felt for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think I still would today. Characters. I don't remember totally feeling for Jared Leto, but
right.
who can ever feel for
well,
Jared Leto?
Well, there are
Leto,
people who feel
it.
For Jared Leto.
They might feel a boner.
a lady boner?
Yeah, but I mean, to actually feel anything for him resembling a human emotion, I don't understand.
But there were some really beautiful shots that maybe just the individual shots would hold up, but as a whole, oh my gosh, and then there's that one scene that was... Maybe there were different reasons I was going to the movies to see it. I don't know.
I remember it being... I have not seen it since that night.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You've never watched it once?
I'm telling you, I never revisited it.
Oh,
ever.
Wow. Okay.
I remember it being well made. I remember it being kind of one note
mm-hmm.
over
yeah.
and over
right.
again.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it probably is cool and maybe even better than I'm remembering, but my memory of it is like what JB refers
I was just going
to
say.
Like film school bullshit, right?
Yes. I was just going to say, my new memory of it is that John hates it.
Yeah. And almost anything Darren Aronofsky does.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting. Okay. So yeah. I totally understand why that's on your list in
2000.
Right?
In 2000, completely Absolutely. On my list. And
yeah, at least it's not your number one.
It made me sad in so many ways. You know, it deals with addiction and other things. And I guess it made me sad in ways that I like to feel sad in at the movies, because if it's a character that I can really feel for, even if I have not experienced what they're experiencing at all, like, I am good at that.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it pulled me in that way, I guess. But okay, so that was my number nine, right? No longer on the list. My new number nine, because I moved up Love and Basketball.
So that's the new number nine?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was number 10.
Now
it's number 9.
Okay, got it.
Love and Basketball is a movie that I haven't really rewatched in recent years at all, but I always remember it. I think of it often. I talk about it with my students. Maybe that's what keeps it fresh in my mind. Maybe that's why I'm thinking it would be higher on my list. But it just comes down to like a very sweet love story, the characters and like what they go through. And, you know, I saw it when I was in college. I was not an athlete, but I was on the dance team and performed at all the men's and women's basketball games. I was around it all the time.
Right.
All of the men's games, all of the women's games. We traveled with the teams.
You were also around
love
constantly.
I was around love constantly. That's true too. So I don't know. I just connected with it in a bunch of ways and have never stopped thinking about it. So I'm putting it up. You liked it when it came out. I know.
I did.
I know it for sure wouldn't make your list.
It's another one I haven't seen since we saw it, probably.
Yeah.
I remember my big takeaway was Sanaa Lathan, who
yes
had been in stuff before that, because now, like, when I rewatch Blade, she has a small part in Blade. But I didn't know who she was at the time. And that, to me, was like a movie that made her a movie star, because it was like, oh my gosh, she's so good. Where did she come from?
She was in Brown Sugar, too, which
yes.
I remember liking her in that. I mean, she's in tons of stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
What
right.
about, what else has the director done since
Gina
then?
Gina Prince-Bythewood?
Yep.
Didn't she just do Beyond the Lights? Or am I remembering the wrong person?
Yeah, no, she did.
Okay.
We talked about that on an old podcast
We talked about Beyond the Lights?
Yes, I think we talked about it on our 54 podcast.
Makes sense.
I could be wrong.
Well, everything you're saying makes sense.
But yeah. Oh.
That we did a podcast on 54.
Right.
And that on it, we talked about the movie Beyond the Lights. This show has been around a long time.
Didn't we like that movie, though? And we thought
it
would be, that it would grow. Like that's what we talked about, that it would become a movie that would catch on later. I don't know that it has.
So far, it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
But it does. It's similar in a lot of ways, I think, to Love and Basketball. Maybe a little bit less relatable, I think, because of where that main character starts out, right? She's like a big famous pop star when it starts.
Yeah.
So it's more of like the bodyguard thing than it is something that's relatable. But.
We should rewatch that.
Okay. Before or after Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Nate Parker is the male lead.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, where's he now?
We should rewatch that. did she also direct...
you have her page open, so I don't...
I'm looking.
You have a better
chance
of
knowing than I do. Yeah, she
directed
Secret Life of Bees, which I don't think I ever saw.
I did not either.
Okay.
But it was my great joke movie. 1 year for the massacre, we were standing outside in line at, 9 in the morning or whatever.
Yeah.
And anytime somebody walked by, what's this line for? The theater was also playing Secret Life of Bees, so that's what I would tell everyone.
Just get everybody to go away so it's not too crowded in there for the massacre.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
My number 9 in 2000 was M. Night Shyamalan's Unbreakable, which is a movie that I still like, although to be fair, a recent viewing of Glass has taken the shine off of Unbreakable a little bit. I'm sure I have to go back to rewatch it and be like, oh no, okay, this movie's still good. I still like it.
Right.
But it is not on my list anymore. I replaced it with Aaron Brockovich, which, again, is very much in the category of The Contender, and that this is just a well-made Hollywood product. And it helps that it's Steven Soderbergh making it.
Yes.
But he had two movies that year. He had Aaron Brockovich and he had Traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2000, I'll tell you right now, Traffic was on my list.
Yes.
Because I was a serious lover of film.
Yeah.
And Traffic was the serious Soderbergh film. And Aaron Brockovich was the pop art film. And now, if you put both of them in front of me, I'm going to watch Aaron Brockovich because it's much more in keeping with like a certain kind of like 70s character piece. It was on cable last night or the night before when you were in the shower. So I was waiting for you to come down so we could watch whatever we were going to watch. The movie I put on out of everything that was on cable was Erin Brockovich.
Oh my gosh, I wish you would have left it on.
I wasn't going to watch the whole thing. Right. But it's much more kind of 70s inspired than I think I gave credit for at the time. It was one of those movies that I was like, that was good. It doesn't belong on a top 10 list. But like, yes, it does. Years later, if my criteria is like, if you put these movies in front of me, which one am I going to watch? Then yeah, Erin Brockovich belongs on my list.
Right. Well, I was looking at my longer list, which is separate, which was like movies I liked in that year. Because I went through a while ago and just was like looking at the list of releases. And Erin Brockovich was definitely on my list. And I thought about it. My memory is that it was like the important movie. That this is dealing with
an important... Oh, see, for me, Traffic was the important movie. Well, but Erin Brockovich was the Get Julia Roberts an Oscar movie.
Yes. Oh, but that's part of what I mean by important movie.
Sure.
And also important subject matter.
Yeah.
Dealing with this, you know, she's playing a real woman who worked so hard to make these changes and fight the bad guys.
It's a movie star movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I remember us liking it.
Yeah.
A lot, so it made
that one I did see with Doug.
Back on your list.
Yeah.
When I was in sixth grade, my teacher used to tell me I looked like Julia Roberts.
Nice.
I wish. Thank you, Mrs. Henry.
Is it because you always wore that blonde wig and those thigh-high black boots to class?
Yeah, well, I pretty much dressed as the Pretty Woman character for school every day in 1990. So that might have been why.
Yeah.
With the wig, not the... See, that's because I don't have the big curly hair.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, of course, with the wig.
So then I do look like her. Okay.
Almost identical.
Yeah, right. Twinning app. Let's put it in there. okay. So wait,
that was my nine.
Yeah. Is it my turn for eight?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That moved fast. Okay. My number eight was State and Maine and I'm keeping it at my number eight.
It was also my number eight. It is currently higher up on my list.
Front Door.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was another one we saw at Yorktown.
Oh my gosh.
And it's good, man. It holds up. It's, I showed it to a class last semester on the first night. I usually like to show a movie about making movies. This semester I did Get Shorty, but last semester I did State and Maine, and surprisingly was the only one laughing at a lot of lines of dialogue.
It was so funny.
A lot of students did remember it because later in the semester I was asking questions and they would talk about stuff they quote unquote learned from watching State and Maine.
Oh wow.
About how movies are made. And,
okay.
So
I just remember like loving the dialogue and the humor and the pacing, and it was just fun. I have not seen it though in many years, so
it's really, really good.
I don't get to show it in my classes.
You should.
Sure.
Oh, it's R. You can't.
Darn it, I can't.
But you've seen Citizen Kane way more times than me.
I have.
Yeah, I wish they would put that out on Blu-ray.
Okay, so that's still my number eight.
Okay, my new number eight is Way of the Gun. So that was my old number eight. My new number eight is Way of the Gun.
Okay,
which is just a great crime action movie.
Yeah,
loved it the night we saw it. Remember it having some of the loudest gunshots I've ever heard in a movie.
Oh,
it's been very rewarding to see Christopher McQuarrie become such a beloved action filmmaker, like making these huge movies.
Yes. Name some.
Well, just the last two Mission Impossibles, basically.
That's what
and
I was
Jack Reacher. he made Jack Reacher, which
I love
is
Jack Reacher.
Surprisingly good.
Oh
it's
gosh.
Like the Erin Brockovich of action movies.
Yeah, it is. That's great.
But yeah, Way of the Gun is just awesome and unfortunately got dismissed as sort of this wannabe Tarantino thing. Mm. But it's really interesting. Also, the more you read about it, like the more you realize how much of it is Christopher McQuarrie like deliberately giving a middle finger to what anybody would expect. Just watch the opening scene with Sarah Silverman and just like how dirty and offensive all the language is. But yeah, Ryan Phillippe is awesome in it. Benicio del Toro is awesome. The whole cast is amazing.
That's your favorite, Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, I would say
I don't mean in that film, but like that style, like that type of performance, right?
Yes, like, more so than like Cruel Intentions, you mean?
Yeah, right. Even definitely. Though you love Cruel Intentions.
She will be my greatest victory.
I think we talked about that on our 54 podcast.
My Cruel Intentions Phillippe is very much like my Edward Snowden or my Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Edward Snowden.
Because he says everything like this. Hey, I'm Edward Snowden. She will be my greatest victory.
Oh my God.
Remember when Edward Snowden was trying to seduce Reese Witherspoon? Anyway, you're number seven.
Yeah, my number seven?
Yes.
My number seven was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
which is higher now, right?
It's higher now.
That's what I figured.
That's right.
I know you love that movie.
Yep, I love that movie.
Not on my list. Can you believe it?
Oh,
I'm
my
a monster.
Gosh.
I know.
What's wrong with you?
I like that movie.
But... Yeah, you do. I remember that the year it came out, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou was named the number one worst movie of the year by, was it Owen
Entertainment
Gleiberman?
Weekly, baby.
Yeah, was it Owen Gleiberman or was it?
Of course it was.
Okay.
Who then 2 or 3 years later named Femme Fatale as the worst movie of the year because fuck that guy.
No, for all the times that I liked what he said about movies, he was wrong so often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in such
I
a big way.
I love Femme Fatale.
Like, yeah. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes,
like,
yes.
On what planet, even if you don't like the movie, is that the worst movie of the year?
Exactly.
You're just trying to be, like, that's some Armand White shit. Anyway.
Right, right. And it bothered me too because I thought to myself, like, there's no way, like, he, what, does he not get it? Like, I know he's super smart, so how is he not?
But
anyway.
Do you know that?
Yeah, yeah. He's got to be. He's got to be, right? Yeah, it was my number 7 was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou,
okay.
And now it is Traffic,
oh.
Which you just, you know. But Traffic was the movie that I was, so it went down. Traffic was higher on my list, now it's lower. And the only reason it even stayed on my list, and I was actually saying this out loud, somewhat to myself and somewhat to Patrick before we were recording the podcast, and he shut me down and said, save it for the podcast! Because I was stressing so hardcore about Traffic, do you see? Save it for the podcast! Because he knows it'd be more interesting to talk about now. Traffic, I was like all in a panic. Like, I don't know that I've really thought about Traffic or watched Traffic again. In my mind, it was so important and it was so serious and it was well done. And I don't know. So, like, I have my only memory is like how important and serious I guess I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. So it moved down on my list. It's still on there as of now, but I don't know. Let's rewatch it. I don't know. Will it remain? Will it remain? Or is it like the Requiem of the Requiem for a Dream?
Well,
of
it is.
That?
It is funny in that it's, you know, drugs are bad.
Right.
It's good. It's Steven Soderbergh. Like, of course, it's going to be good. He won the Oscar for directing it.
He did?
He was all over. Oh, yeah. He won Best Director.
What won Benicio
Best Picture? Del Toro won for Best Supporting Actor.
Right,
Julia Roberts won Best Actress, also for a Soderbergh movie.
Oh,
We'll get
that.
To what won Best Picture in just a second.
Okay.
But
I remember.
It's you know, it's good. Mm-hmm. It has a great cast, and I remember liking it. It's always going to hold a special place in my heart because of the Purple Notebook that you bought me.
Aww.
That you said, like, okay, I want you to start writing movie reviews in this Purple Notebook. And the first one I ever wrote was for Traffic.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm sure if I read it now, I would be covered head to toe in douche chills. Like, it would be awful, right? But it was sort of the first full-length movie review I ever wrote. And here we are 19 years later, and... I'm not writing movie reviews anymore because I'm no longer capable.
Hey,
but once upon a time,
Black
I did.
Will end.
Sure, it will. Once upon a time, I did write movie reviews, and it kind of got started with Traffic. It's also an interesting example for me, at least, what I was just saying about Aaron Brockovich, where it's like 2000 me thought Traffic was good and therefore should be on my list and high on my list because, well, gosh, I like Steven Soderbergh and this is his important movie.
Right, important. That's
the
word.
2019 me is like, no, I can accept the fact that I would rather watch Aaron Brockovich and I can embrace that about myself.
Right. Yeah. Was Traffic the first time we saw Erica Christensen?
Were we in a pre-swim fan world?
I don't know. I don't remember the chronology.
I
guess
either.
We'll have to look that up.
I think we were living.
Listeners?
P.S. pre-swim fan.
Okay.
So yeah, probably.
Okay.
My biggest memory of that movie, I have two memories and they both have to do with her.
Okay.
One is the first time she tries, I think, crack, like a tear comes down her cheek. And I remember being like, well, I've never seen that in a movie.
Okay.
And the second one is she gets in a fight with Michael Douglas playing her dad. And at one point he just loses his shit and yells, fuck you. And I remember being blown away that like a parent said that to his daughter. I've never seen that in a movie.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
That he would get so angry. And he was like a senator or some big shot. No, he was the drug czar.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You also remember that her name was spelled with a K.
Well, listen, of course.
I'm looking up her movies.
Okay.
Not fast enough though. So yeah, I don't know. You think
should I
swim fan? Wait, swim fan.
Okay.
2002.
Okay.
Traffic was 2000. Yeah. So that stands out to me, I guess. And what's she doing lately?
Who knows?
Okay. I guess some stuff.
She's another actress who unfortunately had a very small window in which to become a giant superstar. And because it didn't happen, she now is probably doing like supporting roles in TV movies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Luckily, TMZ reported on her home birth last year. So,
okay. Well, that's
cool.
News.
Yeah. Thanks, TMZ.
That girl from Traffic gave birth at home.
Do you still have your purple notebook?
I bet I do.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I bet it. I know where
the
it is.
The first two reviews I wrote, one was Traffic and one was Snatch. And I'm sure I was like way too kind to Snatch because like, well, it's Guy Ritchie and it's kind of
we were
like
young.
Edgy. Boy, were we.
Did you publish those anywhere?
No.
They were just
where would I have published them?
Top five, maybe.
Speaking of being young, my number seven is a movie we had to drive to the city for. So you know it's some artsy shit.
Yeah.
And that is Chuck and Buck.
I completely forgot about Chuck and Buck.
As did I, which is why it's no longer on my list.
I don't even have it on my, like, because I had Aaron Brockovich on my extended list in my Way of the Gun. I don't even have that. Like, did I know it came out that year?
It was memorable at the time, like,
Chuck and Buck.
It put Mike White on our radar, and he was playing such a creepy character, and it went in a direction that we were like, well, I don't think we saw this coming.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about it completely.
But it's a movie that I probably wouldn't rewatch today.
Okay.
I might. You know, I don't know how much I would love it, but I'm sure there was something about its sort of edgy, uncomfortable humor that I was like, well, that's good, right? It is no longer on my list, and the movie that is my most controversial pick.
Ooh.
And the movie that I feel like would have been, I did it backwards.
Okay.
Where like I feel like this would have been on my list in 2000, and now I would be embarrassed about it and take it off. But instead, it wasn't on my list in 2000, and now I'm putting it on in 2019.
Oh my gosh, I'm fascinated.
It's Gladiator.
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this.
Why?
Because you were so mad at that movie.
What was I mad about?
Russell Crowe.
Winning
the Oscar
over,
I don't remember.
Tom Hanks.
Yes,
the man
yes,
who made
yes,
us
yes.
Cry for, right, a volleyball,
for a volleyball. Oh my gosh!
And Russell Crowe got Best Actor, and that is still wrong.
Right.
Me putting it at my number seven does not right that wrong.
Right.
Russell Crowe should have been winning apparently for The Insider the year before, and so then they were like, "Oh, okay, like that's
exactly
a movie that wasn't on my list in
'99
that totally would be."
I feel like I like Gladiator way more than you did. It's not even on my list.
No,
I cannot believe
Gladiator.
It made up. I actually thought that Russell Crowe kind of looked like you in that movie.
You are mistaken. He is maybe now because he's fat, right?
Stop.
So, because any guy who's fat and has a beard looks like me. So
you're not even kind of fat.
I'm very fat,
no,
is what you're saying?
No, you're not at all fat.
Well, listen.
But you've got that beard.
That beard,
mm-hmm,
though. So I just was looking at the list, and I was like, yeah, but what movie from 2000 have I rewatched? And I liked Gladiator at the time. I remember going to see it and thinking it was a mistake that they were making a Gladiator movie, because I was like, those haven't been in fashion since the 1960s. Why are they doing this?
Bring it
and
back.
And I saw it on a Sunday night with Doug. And I was like, that was surprisingly good. I really enjoyed that. And then we saw it again as part of a double feature with, do you remember? Oh, wait for it.
Nope.
I want to say it was a double feature with The Patriot.
Oh, my gosh.
The Mel Gibson, It's a Free Country, Well, It Will Be. That
well,
was a long,
it will be.
Rough night at the movies. Let me tell you, everyone. A long, rough night at the movies.
We hated The Patriot.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
So I've always liked Gladiator, but it was another situation where I was like, yeah, it's good for like this summer blockbuster. It was good when it came out in May, but now we're going to name it Best Picture? That's insane, right? And I still don't think it really should have won the Best Picture Oscar, or Russell Crowe should have won Best Actor. But the Oscars are meaningless, and I'm older now, and I can accept that. And
Oh my gosh, you were so mad. You were going
to leave. I wanted to leave.
You were
going to
leave my house.
I wanted to leave. I obviously
where
took
we had
these
people over. We were watching the Oscars.
Way more seriously back then. Because
he came back,
now,
though,
because
he looked at me.
I can't. Well, that's absolutely correct. But now I can embrace the fact that, like, no, Gladiator is very solid. If it comes on TV, I'm going to watch it. I've probably watched it.
Have you watched it recently?
I mean, it's been... I've watched it on Blu-ray.
Has it been a while?
I've watched it on Blu-ray once. We've had a Blu-ray player for 9 years. So I have seen it sometime in the last 9 years. Before that, I know I watched it on DVD a couple times. Like, I've seen it a handful of times.
Right.
So I would be lying to myself to say that The Gladiator doesn't belong somewhere on my list, so it's okay. My number seven.
Well, I will allow it on my honorable mentions, not moving up.
No.
Okay.
We're at your six.
My six was The Virgin Suicides, and it has moved up.
Okay.
And my new six, but so, okay, this is where on my list, okay, listeners, you cannot see my list, but there are all these marks, like arrows and X's, and it's just this part of my list, like the fourth.
One of them looks suspiciously like a swastika.
Oh, no. What?
Is there something we need to talk about? You're just making America great again?
I can't even joke about it.
Sorry,
it's not funny.
I'm sorry.
I have my like 4, 5, 6 is a mess. So my number 6 was Virgin Suicide.
Okay.
And it moved up. I loved that movie when it came out. It stuck with me. I've talked a lot, I think, about on F this. Well, not a lot on F this movie in general, but whenever I do, I think I talk a lot about how movies make me feel, the tone, the atmosphere, or whatever. Yeah. When it sticks with you in a certain way, right? When you have that sort of response to.
You were the one who got it the night we saw it, I know.
What do you mean?
We saw it in a big group.
Yeah.
And you were the one who responded to it the most.
Yes. Okay.
And I remember liking it, but feeling at a remove from it.
Okay.
And I like it way more now. And I wonder if seeing more Sofia Coppola movies has helped to kind of understand what she's doing in that movie. But yeah, I like it way more now. It'll come up again.
Right.
But
yeah. No, I liked it right away. And
you did.
Appreciate you remembering that.
That.
Didn't you buy me the book?
Yeah, I sure did. Mm. We saw it as a double feature with Center Stage.
Oh my gosh.
So there was one movie that you loved and one movie that
Doug loved. Hi, Doug.
Hey, whatever you're feeling. Just dancing.
I did like Center Stage, though.
Nope.
But not, no. Okay, not even.
I'm sorry, no.
Doug loved Center Stage.
Still does.
Doug is watching it right now. So Virgin Suicides moved up. Yeah, you bought me the book, and I think, did you buy me the soundtrack, or did I buy that for myself?
Yeah, I think you bought it for yourself.
You used to buy me a lot of stuff, though.
Listen, I was very wealthy. You're laughing too hard.
Yep, so that moved up. So where am I now? Oh, but see, this is, so even saying this out loud is like, what? So my new number 6 is Return to Me, which is not a top 10 list movie, but it is for me, and I don't care.
Right. This is what I'm saying.
Right, like, yeah.
We had ideas of what a top 10 list movie should be in 2000, and I think we've gotten rid of some of those pretensions now.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, Return to Me is a movie I love and want to watch all the time, so why wouldn't it be on my list?
Return to Me is Bonnie Hunt. Return to Me is Chicago. Return to Me is a bunch of Italian grandpas. I mean, it's so many things that work specifically for me. It's like when we talked about Hoop Dreams many a podcast ago. Like, there's so many elements that work just for me. And then it's just fun and cute and sweet and heartbreaking. And, like, it's great. I love it so much. I recently made Adam Risky watch it.
Yeah.
Because when you did your calendar show,
yeah,
you asked me to program one night. And
that's right.
I went Chi-Town, right?
Yeah.
What did we, didn't we call it something?
Yeah, but I don't remember
what. And I think my two picks, weren't they High Fidelity and Return to Me?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. 2000. So Adam Risky watched it, and that was a movie that when I worked at Blockbuster, no matter what type of like movie loving person came in and asked for a recommendation, everybody loved Return to Me. No one ever came back unhappy that they saw it. So
nice.
Yeah. It's popular.
Nice.
At the BBV. And I love it. And it's sweet. And we should watch it with the kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. They could handle that.
Yeah.
My number 6 was High Fidelity in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
My number 6 now is State and Main, up from number 8.
Okay. Okay. All right. We talked about State and Main. So you're good?
Yep.
Okay. I have a question about your High Fidelity, though.
But it's still on the list.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So my number 5 was Return to Me. It only moved down once. See?
Oh, interesting. It moved down? I didn't even think it was on the list.
That's what I'm saying. I felt weird about even saying that out loud. Like, so
I thought it wasn't on the list in 2000 and now was appearing in 2019. Instead, it dropped one spot.
Can we stop recording and start over? I'm going to redo this. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, no. I get to make my own rules. So this whole middle section is all a tie.
Perez is back.
There it is. There's no video for this? Okay.
Sadly, no.
If there was, people could see my pants that you just bought me.
That's true.
You're always buying me presents.
I'm very wealthy still. Not writing about movies is very lucrative.
It pays all of the bills.
Yeah.
All of our Fright Rags bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where was I?
Your new number five.
Yeah, so number five was returned to me.
Yeah.
And now it's Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, moved up from my number seven.
Got it.
I think I've watched that movie a lot more than I've watched Return to Me in like
But
the
you were
past
also using
years.
It in school for a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you were teaching The Odyssey?
Yes, yes. So,
is it your favorite Coen Brothers movie?
I don't know.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to make you do a Letterboxd list where you rank the Coen Brothers.
Yes. Oh my gosh. He forces me to make these lists and it's like, it's, we like fight over it. It's our first fight. No, he's like, come on, so make scary. Rank these movies. I'm like, I don't want to rank.
Oh,
they're
Brother,
all tied.
It's probably the Coen Brothers movie that we quote the most in our house.
Oh my gosh.
Because we say things like, I'm in a tight spot.
Yes.
And he's a suitor.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
Yep. He's a suitor. Okay, so where was I? Oh, is it your turn?
It's mine. My number five is a really good movie that I have never felt like revisiting, and that is Wonder Boys. It is no longer on my list, and it's not because I don't like it, but it's just how often do I feel like watching Wonder Boys?
Right.
It has instead been replaced by a movie that's even more like Homework, and that is Spike Lee's Bamboozled.
Bamboozled made your list?
Yes.
I'm so happy.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. He had two films that year, right?
He had Original Kings of Comedy and Bamboozled.
That's in my honorable mentions.
Nice. Original Kings of Comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Bamboozled is, again, a movie that is like satire by way of a sledgehammer. But again, you know, not a month goes by where we don't talk about that closing credits sequence. There's just so much. I think the movie was undone a little bit at the time by just how many buttons it pushes, by how in your face it is about its satire, and by the aesthetic, because it was something he shot on like early digital video, same with Chuck and Buck. And that early digital video looked like early digital video. It didn't look great.
Right.
And so I think that hurt its chances a little bit, but I do think that is a movie that people should be talking about way more than they do.
Have you rewatched that lately?
Not lately, but certainly more than Wonder Boys in the last 19 years. Right. And it's a movie that obviously we're going to rewatch very soon when we go through our spikes. Yeah.
Wonder Boys is on my honorable mentions because I have this memory. I used to really love movies that were set in the East Coast.
Right.
At universities.
Right.
Or just rich people's houses.
That's Wonder
Here's
Boys.
A world in which I do not live in. Okay. But I don't know. This came up like recently. I was like, I don't know if I would still like it as much.
Right.
And I guess I'll never know unless I rewatch it. But man, we're busy. Okay.
One of these days we will.
Right. Yeah.
And it's good. It's totally good.
Sure. It doesn't. Katie Holmes.
She is in it.
I was also matched with her on the twinning thing.
You don't
see that
much.
One at all.
But it has Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, and Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, and Michael Douglas, Hank Pym.
There you go.
And Frances McDormand, not a superhero.
But it still has Frances McDormand.
That's correct.
Let's just watch it again. Okay. What number are we at?
This is, we're at number four.
Number four. Okay, so my old number four was Traffic. So Traffic moved down on my list, although it didn't slip off yet. So, and then my new number four is Virgin Suicides.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is also my new number four.
What? Virgin Suicides?
From not appearing on my list, moving all the way up to number four.
What?
My old number four was You Can Count on Me, a really good movie about a brother and sister, Mark Ruffalo and Laura Linney.
Wait, that came out in 2000?
It was on my list for 2000.
Are we sure it came out in 2000?
No.
Why is it nowhere on my list?
Because you hate stories about brothers and sisters.
That's not true.
Because
I really
we saw
liked
it
that
together at the Rosebud Theater in Milwaukee.
Yeah, we did. That was
the first
like
time I ever like was served food while watching a movie. And it was like such a great novelty. And now I'm like, ugh, no, just let me watch the movie.
No, but that was like so special.
I know.
Then.
So great. I had like cheesy garlic bread.
Yeah,
and
we were in Milwaukee.
And it's just a really well-written, incredibly well-acted movie. That was the movie that put Mark Ruffalo on our radar, I think.
Yep.
And I loved it and haven't watched it since.
Okay, so I am Googling.
Yeah.
And you're right. Not that I thought you were wrong.
Oh,
but,
okay. It's possible that I
it
didn't.
It won Best Picture and Best Screenplay at the 2000 Sundance Film Festival. So
I didn't double check, so I very easily could have been wrong. It's still a movie I really like, but it's not a movie I have rewatched at all. and and I'm not necessarily compelled to do so, even though, again, like I said, its quality hasn't changed at all. But I put Virgin Suicides on there.
I'm happy to see Virgin Suicides Thanks. Made its way on.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm just surprised that You Can Count on Me is not on my list. Or, like, on my honorable mentions.
Sure.
Like, well, I thought it would have been there. So
you
I don't
put
know.
It on
I
there now.
I just missed it. Yes, I can. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, no problem.
I wonder, is the Rosebud still open in Milwaukee?
I don't know.
We'll
just have to go back.
I think we drove past it last year. Okay.
Number three.
Number three on my list was Castaway.
Okay.
And it's still number three. So I got to be honest. My 1, 2, and 3 is going to be a little bit boring here. I apologize, but I guess we can move quickly because
mine too.
Okay, there's not a lot of changes. So my number three was Castaway. Tom Hanks. Oh gosh, that movie.
Yeah.
Still number three. You have Castaway on your list. I think it's higher.
It is. Yeah.
I'm predicting it's your number one.
It is higher.
Okay.
My old number three was Traffic, no longer on my list.
Dropped
from three to gone. And my new number three is High Fidelity. Because let's be real. Like, if there's a movie that I've watched probably more than any other one on this list, it's High Fidelity.
Hmm.
It's probably still my favorite book, which you bought for me.
Yep.
And you were very apologetic.
I was?
Because you bought me the version that was like, it's based on a movie that's coming out, and here's John Cusack on the cover. And
right.
You're like, I'm sorry that I got you like the movie version, and I didn't care, but it was...
But I think I couldn't find the other one, right? Yeah.
And reading that book was a revelation. Like, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone in the world, for better and for worse. Like, this person understands a lot of the worst things about me as well. But you know, you always talk about there's 30 types, and it was my realization that like, oh, I'm just a type. I'm one of 30, you know, which
is
fine.
Was that comforting or both? Yeah, like
yes
you said,
no.
Good and bad.
Again, the movie, you know, gets a lot of things right
and
is great and is a great Chicago movie and maybe the last truly great John Cusack.
We saw it together in Milwaukee.
We sure did.
Yep. I think
won a
Doug,
t-shirt.
Yeah, you did. Doug wrote about it. In a piece where he, I think he wrote a piece for your birthday in 2017 where he went through like movies you guys had seen together, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a good piece, Doug. Good job, Doug. Doug has made it on this podcast.
Turn off center stage, Doug.
Great.
He's on our podcast. Talking about you, ma'am.
A lot today. Okay, so that was your number
two, correct?
Wait, that was your number three?
That's my new three up from six.
It's up from six?
Yeah.
Did you say that earlier?
That it was my old six, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So my number two, this is tough. So my one and two, I have X's. I think the X's mean, I don't know where they're going. Are they going at one or two? So my number two was High Fidelity. I think it's tied now for number one.
Why can't I do that?
Oh
yeah, because
my
you
God.
Have to have a number two. If you want to add in a brand new movie for number two, you can, and then have a two-way tie for first. But you can't just have no number two and a two-way tie.
Okay, so High Fidelity was my number two, and it's still my number two.
All right. It's a good one.
I love it so much. I mean, everything you said, and I could watch that. I could watch that movie every single day. And again, speaks to me on all those levels that I talked about, like Chicago and music. And
we quote it all the time.
Like a
and
cool guy making me tapes.
Great soundtrack.
Lots of tapes.
Great soundtrack. That's your line.
Oh, that is my line. Have you ever heard about Goodfellas? Do you read the Daily Herald in the year 2000? No, what year was that? 97? 98?
98 because 98. It was the AFI thing.
Oh, yeah. We weren't dating yet.
Not yet.
Oh, my gosh.
Not yet.
Okay.
My number two is Almost Famous. Was Almost Famous. Hasn't changed.
Okay.
And I remember at the time seeing the trailer for Almost Famous and saying to you, that's going to be the best movie of the year.
Yeah.
And I thought it was for like the 2 months between when I saw it and when I saw my new favorite movie of the year. But it's great. I still love it. Obviously, what the hell are we going to say about Almost Famous?
I know. Right?
Last great Cameron Crowe movie.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Aloha was awesome.
Oh, gosh. That's sad. When I think about Almost Famous, I don't think about it as being 19 years ago.
No, me either.
I mean, I guess I could say that about
do you think
half
it's
of these movies.
It's period that like it feels more timeless.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
High Fidelity doesn't feel dated though.
No, not at all. I could put on now and feel like we just watched it like a year ago, like for the first time. But see it again for the first time. Okay, wait. So your number two
was Almost Famous. Is Almost Famous.
Okay. And my number two was High Fidelity is High Fidelity.
And your number one was and is.
Was Almost Famous and is Almost Famous. Yeah. But I'm looking at this list going, ooh, I could switch it with High Fidelity because I really have, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Almost Famous, again, same thing. It speaks to so many things and great music helps and the performances and it's so good. I don't know. It's still my number one.
I will say something controversial.
Sure.
And I think I've only seen it once, but I guess it was more than a couple of years ago.
Only seen what once?
The Cameron Crowe bootleg cut.
Oh, yeah.
That he put out considerably longer. And I know some fans of Almost Famous, you know, this is their favorite movie. I think Nora Kay.
Oh, absolutely.
Is one who has said that she prefers the bootleg cut. And I get it. If it's your favorite movie, it's like, ooh, more to love.
Okay.
I think it's too long and I prefer the theatrical cut.
Yeah.
But again, I've only seen the bootleg cut once.
Okay.
So, anyway, my number one was and is Castaway. Which took me by surprise in the year 2000 because, again, I was positive, Almost Famous. I wasn't going to see a better movie than Almost Famous.
Right.
And we went to see Castaway just, hey, it's Robert Zemeckis, it's Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. This is that movie where he lost a bunch of weight. You know, I didn't expect to love it the way that I did. And I was just completely blown away by it.
All these feelings are coming back to me right now. As you're talking about it, I want to cry. Do you remember the scene?
Which one?
It's near the end.
Okay.
And they meet in the street. Or am I making that up?
You're maybe confusing two different things.
Okay.
I can't remember if they meet in the street. The thing with him in the street is the last shot.
Okay.
The roads.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very sad. Honestly, it's one that I have not rewatched as much as a lot of other movies on
right.
this list.
Mm-hmm.
My memory of it is that it's my favorite movie of that year. But mm-hmm. it's not, there are other years where my favorite movie is something that I watch again and again and again. Mm-hmm. Castaway, I've maybe seen three times total.
Well, you know how I keep saying that these films, all of our favorite films speak to us all, right, in personal ways. But certain films you can really, just make a list. Like, this, and this, and this is made for me. And these things don't work for other people. I think Castaway has a little bit of that. I mean, obviously Tom Hanks, but, for you, Tom Hanks and other things, too. So here's what I'm going to say. In 2000, I knew you loved Castaway. Knowing you now for many more years, it makes sense to me that you loved Castaway and that it still is at the top of your list.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
I want to hear more about this when we're not recording. Because I'm fascinated. Do you want to run through some of your honorable mentions?
Sure. I think I kind of did already.
Probably.
I really
just
do.
Just run them through again.
Okay. Wonder Boys, X-Men, Finding Forrester, Best in Show. Did I talk about Best in Show?
No. Just when you were mentioning
The original
mentions.
Kings of Comedy. Replacements made it on my list at number 10, right?
Yeah, it
that
did.
That snuck right on there.
Yeah, it did.
And again,
it's a top 10 movie.
I would have had You Can Count on Me and Aaron Brockovich for sure.
Okay.
I guess that's it.
Okay.
Sure. What else?
I don't know.
What am I forgetting? What are you forgetting?
I mean, mine would be the movies that fell off my list, I guess. Unbreakable, Traffic, You Can Count on Me, Wonder Boys.
I liked Unbreakable too, but I guess I forgot about
Unbreakable.
It.
I would probably also include American Psycho.
Yes, American Psycho. Do I not have that on here?
And The Whole Nine Yards.
Okay.
Which is a comedy that I really,
yes!
really like.
Yes. I remember us seeing it and loving it. What about Boiler Room?
I mean,
I wrote Boiler Room question
Adam
mark.
Loves Boiler Room.
Okay.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
Yeah,
I think it's a movie that we would watch now for the cast.
Right.
Because it's amazing. Everybody's somebody.
Oh my gosh. Isn't it Vin Diesel?
It was early Diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And a different Vin Diesel.
Right.
A happier, smilier.
Yeah. A little bit softer.
Dominic Toretto Vin Diesel. it shows up a lot. I've watched 5 minutes of it here and there, but I don't know that I would put it in my honorable
right.
mentions.
Well, that I have it written down with a question mark. I think because my memory is I liked it and thought
Boiler
it was cool, but it was 2000 and I haven't watched it or thought about it since.
Anyway, this was super fun. Thank you for
doing
this.
I hope I want to know what people, what their different lists would be. I would love
so
it if people...
So, their then and now lists, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. People should
Our
do
listeners.
It in the comments.
Is anyone listening?
Possibly two or three. Yeah.
Call
do
in.
Your then and now lists. Post them in the comments. if you like this show, let us know, and maybe we'll do it again with 2001, or we could jump around and do a different year. Maybe
2007.
My 2007 list, I think, is going to be crazy in terms of what wasn't on there.
Okay.
I think what was on there is good, but I think it's missing some movies that I can't believe it's missing.
Yeah, I think I glanced at my old, like, 98 or 99 list. I can't remember. I think it was 98. And I think it would be pretty much the same. But maybe it was 99 that would be different.
99 would be pretty similar, too.
Okay.
Except, like, American Beauty might not
be
as high.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, but, all right. You stole it.
99 was, like, so
American
crazy
Beauty's
solid.
Moving that, off the list.
Yeah, right.
Traffic.
Or just way down. Right. We were going to maybe start with 2005. That was the first year that I threw out. But I didn't have a chance to rewatch Peter Jackson's King Kong. So
oh, my God.
We'll have to wait to do 2005. But if you like it, let us know and we can do this again because it's fun. It's a fun exercise. And it's fun to podcast with you in your Fright Rags pants.
Oh, thanks. I hope you like them.
Anyway, thank you guys. Remember, you can find us every day at fthismovie.com. We're on Twitter at fthismovie, Facebook, Instagram, as you pointed out.
Yeah, Instagram.
And you can email us anytime at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
And stay tuned for the big announcement.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we don't know when it's coming, but it's coming.
Sometime
everyone.
This week, though,
it's
right?
It's coming, yeah.
Okay.
I think. I hope.
Okay.
It depends. But anyway, thank you guys. Thanks, Bew.
No problem. Thanks for having me.